Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for December 11th, 2009.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
This week, what rising sea levels will mean for coastal ecosystems, and a listener's question precipitates an icy response from Suzanne Bard. But first, a celebration of 50 years of frosty relations. During the height of the Cold War in the late 1950s, the United States, the Soviet Union, and 12 other countries signed a treaty proclaiming Antarctica a scientific preserve and banned all military activity there. This month marked the 50th anniversary of that treaty, and scientists gathered in Washington from all over the world to reaffirm it. Paul Berkman is head of the Arctic Ocean Geopolitics Program at the University of Cambridge in the UK.
The purpose of the meeting here on the 50th anniversary of the Antarctic Treaty is to look across the first 50 years of this system that has managed nearly 10% of the Earth for peaceful purposes only, and to consider how those lessons will apply to other international governance systems today, tomorrow, and centuries from now.
He says the treaty showed how even in the most difficult times, the science community can pave the way for international cooperation. Now, Suzanne takes on a meteorological query.
Listener Monica Sullivan of Wilson, North Carolina, called in with this question about the weather.
Does hail change diameter as it falls to the ground?
Well, Monica, we spoke with Dennis Toddy, a climatologist at South Dakota State University. He says that during a thunderstorm, hail starts off as microscopic particles of ice that get caught up in updrafts by the wind.
And they can be cycled through that updraft several times, and then they can collect several different layers of water and ice in them and gradually grow larger and larger and larger until they fall out as larger hailstones.
He says that once the hail falls out of the cloud, it does begin melting a bit.
But generally, once it's out of the cloud and falling on its way down, then it's about the size that it is going to be before it reaches the ground.
And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, you'll win a Science Update mug.
Thanks, Suzanne. Finally today, with rising sea levels, there's concern about the thousands of miles of developed coastal property in the country. Biological oceanographer James McCarthy at Harvard says we may overlook the threat to the thin intertidal area that sits between the human development and the ocean. These ecosystems are critically important as nurseries for ocean life and purifiers of ocean water. As the ocean rises, these ecosystems can't simply move inland.
There are barriers for the migration of marsh ecosystems, the whole coastal ecosystem, the intertidal ecosystem, that will inhibit the full development of that group of organisms in their communities further upshore, which, of course, is what you would have expected to have happened if those areas weren't developed.
Loss of the intertidal zones would be catastrophic, not only for the thousands of species that spawn and mature there and the humans and wildlife that depend on them, but because of the role these zones play in filtering out and breaking down pollutants. Protecting these natural resources from the effects of climate change could prove even more daunting than protecting property. Well, that's all we have for you this week. If you can't wait for next week's podcast, you can get a daily dose of science by listening to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. You can get it every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. And remember, if you have a science question for us, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, you'll win one of our brand new Science Update mugs. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.